What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Linz, what do you got?
Well, what you need to know today is something that is very important and near and dear to me. I'm sure you've seen it all over social media, but if you haven't, today is World Mental Health Day, a marker first recognized in 1992 that has taken on added meaning in recent years as more attention has been paid to the need for better mental health. It's an important reminder to check in on your own mental health and note if you are struggling. It's okay to ask for help or support. We also need to encourage others in our life to do the same. So, social stigmas about mental health are improving, but more work still needs to be done. And of course, now there's a dedicated number to call when you have a mental health emergency in the U.S. Dialing 988, just like 911, but it's 988, will connect you to the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. And for more resources on mental health, I encourage you to check out WMHDOfficial.com, which is WorldMentalHealthDay.com, official.com, sorry, for more resources, like I said.
Great. Thanks, Linz.
You're welcome.
Is what you need to know. Brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times. Less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. I don't know if you heard, one of my children may need a mental health day or a physical health day as he, I don't know if you heard the screaming in the background. What's going on there?
What's happening in the Sedano house?
Mateo fell down the short steps to come down here on the way to the garage. So
mm-hmm.
It's like four steps. Not that, you know, it's not like he fell down the whole flight.
Like no big deal. Just, you know, fall down the stairs.
Shake it off, kid.
You're fine.
You'll be fine. Yeah. He's fine. Yeah,
clearly tough guy, huh?
I mean, he's kind of thick.
He is kind of a thick little guy, isn't he?
He's thick. He can take a
bounce around a little bit, huh?
Physical type, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, anywho,
yeah.
In the interim, Cappy,
yeah. Talk to me. Tell me. Talk to me.
This weed thing, like, can we just get you back on the weed?
I'm gonna get back on it. You know what I did was, George, is I told you that I had to get off the weed completely.
Now, because of the diet.
Well, no. I had this life insurance policy thing.
Yeah.
And a test for life insurance, you know?
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So, here,
right.
So here's
Is this
happens.
When your doctor said you're like fat and disgusting and whatever you said?
Well, that's kind of what happens, you know, when I go see my doctor. And so I had this life insurance test, and the person comes to my house, right? And they do all your vitals, you know, and they take some blood and they take a urine and specimen and so on. And they come back to me like, I don't know, a couple weeks later, this life insurance company. They go, yo, so do you use cannabis products? And I'm like, yeah, what's the problem? They're legal. And they're like, no, it's fine. You can, it's not a problem at all. It's just that the amount.
Why does your mind immediately go to, I'm not going to jail, right?
Right. I was like, what? Why are you judging me? You know, they're like, no, it's fine. You can use cannabis. I mean, we ask you if you use alcohol. We ask you if you use cannabis. You were like, yeah, occasionally. But the urine specimen would suggest that this is a ridiculous amount, you know. It just doesn't make sense.
Heavy usage
for a guy, right? For a guy who says he does it maybe once a month, that it just doesn't make any sense to us.
Yeah,
right?
Why did you lie to them? They said that it was once a month.
Because I don't know. There's a stigma, you know.
I mean, they're doctors, like they're medical people. They're gonna know.
So I go, okay. I said, all right, I'm gonna take the test again. So I wait, I don't know, whatever it is, a month or two, right?
Yeah.
And now I take the test again. So that morning, I drank this substance.
Right, I was just going to say, get one of those teas, man.
Okay, so I ordered one of those teas on, like, Amazon. They give you the instructions. They're like, hey, it's 32 ounces. It doesn't taste great, but you got to drink it.
Yeah.
And I drank it.
And
then the person came to my house, and they did the examination, right? And I get the results back, and they're like, so there's more creatine in your system than any human being that we've ever tested before. And I'm like, creatine? I don't take creatine. And then I realized that whatever that crap was that I drank to mask the weed must have been like filled with creatine, right? So I'm 0-2 on these life insurance tests.
Yeah.
And so finally I'm like, my life insurance guy says to me, goes, are you like serious right now? You cannot not smoke? I'm like, of course I can. He's like, well then do it. So on September 6th, I stopped and I had my examination on, I want to say it was like October 4th, 5th, something like that. Mm-hmm. And so I've been off of it. But the thing is that when you quit something cold turkey and you don't, like, it's not around you anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I have no desire anymore.
Right.
Like, I literally have no desire.
Except you're acting crabby.
Well, I mean, I'm a little crabby. Yeah. I mean, I admit that.
Yeah.
I acknowledge that.
Yeah. So are you going to be crabby if, are you going to be crabby if the Dodgers happen to lose this series or if the Padres happen to lose this series?
What are you saying?
Just asking you a question. People on the streets are wondering.
What do they want to know?
They want to know what side you on.
Well, George, you and I have had this conversation in the past, have we not? I've told you about my disdain for the Padre organization. I've explained to you.
Wait, hold on. But you know, there's a lot of people here are tuning in for the first time.
Okay.
I know that you are a notable Charger hater and proud, card carrying member of this.
President of the club.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. So does that
there's
extend...
even a T-shirt to go with it?
Yeah, we've seen the T-shirts. Yes, trust me. Does this extend to the Padres as well?
Am I a Padre hater like I'm a Charger hater?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, no. 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 Look, I've told this story before. When I moved to Southern California in 2001, I came to work for a radio station called Extra Sports 690. Old school sports radio listeners will know it. And I remember being the very first interview I did. Bruce Bochy was the manager of the Padres back then. I worked in association with the Padres from about 2001 to about 2017. I worked in some relationship with the Padres. And George, let me explain something to you. You talk about today being World Mental Health Day. That's a very, very depressing existence when you are around an organization that stinks every single year. That when spring training was over, so was the season. Okay, it was that bad. There were a couple of years, I want to say like 05, 06, you had a pitcher like Jake Peavy, you had a closer like Trevor Hoffman.
Yeah.
They had decent enough teams, but that's only because everybody else in the NL West stunk. You made it into the playoffs with a sub-500 record. So I was in business with these guys forever, and they were terrible. I had season tickets. I couldn't give them away, let alone resell them, right? So then in about 2016 or 17, they hired this guy to be their marketing guy, and this guy decided, you know what we need to do? We need to move from the AM dial over to the FM dial because that's going to make our audience a lot younger sounding, and we're going to get young people to listen to baseball on the radio. And I'll tell you, man, it was the worst. Like, being in business with those guys, every time you said something critical, you think the Lakers get on you? Oh, my God, dude. The Padres could have been 0 and 100, and they expected me to go on the radio and say they're going to win the World Series. So they literally nitpicked every single thing that I said. I would say to them all the time, would you guys stop acting like you're the Lakers? You're the Padres. So I had a
I'm sure that went over really well.
Oh, it didn't go over well at all, not really at all.
Yeah.
So I had a very big problem with the Padre organization, particularly when they were like, hey, after all these losing years, now we're going to go over to the FM dial and we're going to suck over there too. And then all of a sudden, here's what happened. Because you have to understand, George, San Diegans were brainwashed that the Padres will never be able to compete with the Dodgers for one reason. Do you have any idea what that is?
Money.
Of course. Why? Why will the Padres never be able to compete with the Dodgers over money? Why is that? Why would that be?
Because it's not LA.
The way the previous Padre ownership would put it is, the Dodgers have a $300 million cable television deal.
They do, yeah.
And the Padres have a $50 million cable television deal. So because theirs is so much bigger, we'll never be able to compete. And you want to know what the truth is, George? That was a lie.
Oh.
That was an unadulterated lie.
What part was the lie?
That they could never compete financially. You want to know why?
Why?
It took an owner with money and guts and desire to say, you know what? Let's put together a $230 million payroll, not a $45 million payroll.
Okay. So this is a long way to get around to say what?
To say that you know that I have a problem with the Padre organization.
Okay. So where are you leaning?
Well, what do you think?
I don't know. You tell me.
You were wearing that ugly chain shirt.
Ooh.
I can't freaking find the picture. I was going through our stuff. So I feel like you already told us many, many times.
Well, what do you think?
You know what? There's a saying in Spanish. Dime con quién andas y te digo quién eres.
My mother would say that to me all the time growing up. Every day, practically. Never really knew what it meant. She never told me.
Hmm.
What does it mean?
Dime con quién andas y te diré quién eres.
Yeah.
I know. I would be like, Mom, stop saying that to me. I don't know what it means. She would never tell
me.
Now,
do you want to hold this off to tomorrow as well? I mean, games don't start till tomorrow, which, by the way, you can hear right here, beginning at 6:30, the Dodgers and Padres game.
Well, I've explained to you that I have a real problem with the Padre organization, right?
Right. Okay, so that means you're a Dodger?
Well, I don't know if I'd say that.
Now,
you know that I've raised four kids that if you were to go onto their Instagram right now, they've all got, like, things that say Padres clinch or Padres move on. I mean,
right.
My son's got a Tatis jersey.
Well, but there's nothing, you know, I mean, look, like we've learned in Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon, you know, there's only so much you can do about your kids sometimes.
That is fair. That is accurate.
Yeah.
But what you're saying to me is, am I a Dodger fan or am I a Padre fan?
For this series.
And I'm saying to you, what do you think?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking the question.
Well, I mean, should I bandwagon and try and like play to everybody and go, ooh,
no,
yay!
No, I think you be you, bro.
I think I'd be me too.
Ya suelta el hombre Dinos. Like, just tell us.
See.
You're like taking too long, bro.
I'm just asking you a question.
Yeah, you root for the Padres, we're guessing. Based on your Instagram alone, I'm guessing you're rooting for the Padres.
What did my Instagram say? What does my Instagram say?
I don't know. I remember seeing, like, before you worked on our show. Yes, you wore that. That was like a thing, I guess. It must have been a bit on your other show that you wore a t-shirt with the chain. What did they call that? The rally chain or something like that?
Whatever was going to help them win.
Yeah, whatever they were called.
What was it called?
It was a t-shirt with a picture of a chain on it.
Yeah, it was called the swag chain.
Okay,
the swag chain.
And it didn't give them any of that. So,
No, it did not. In fact, it got them trolled by the L.A. librarians.
Yeah. Oh, the librarians? All the librarians are dope, man.
The L.A. librarians were like, hey, San Diego, so you're celebrating in June with your swag chain, and here we are in September, and you're sitting at home laughing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Yeah,
the librarians are, like, you know, on Twitter, they go back and forth, right? Like, the library, like, of L.A. or whatever team they're playing. Yo, L.A. library goes hard. They really do.
I like it.
Cap, for what it's worth, like, if that's your team, root for your team.
Yeah.
I mean, if the Dodgers play the Indians...
Linz goes with the Gardos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm rooting for the Dodgers unless they play
the
Gardos.
They play the Gardos.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If they play the Gardos, all the gloves are off for
exactly.
Linz.
And but she's been honest about that.
That'll be fun. That'll be
so
fun.
So what is your position?
Well, what do you think?
You know what? I got to go to break.
Okela. I can't finish the rest of that. I get fired.
Yeah.
I'll dump you, Laura. If I had
you
have dump
a dump you can't no, dump
I,
me.
I
was just going to say.
I'll dump you, girl.
No, you can't.
All right, coming up next, Cappy, there's been a lot of talk about Draymond Green, but our guy Stephen A. Smith said there's a path for Draymond to leave the Warriors, and it may be to everyone's favorite team. Now, is that a good thing? We'll find out. We'll discuss next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
What you say? Are you going to say that to Christopher tomorrow?
It depends. I'm not sure yet. There's a part of me that's thinking that I'm going to tell him, no, stay. I'm going to give you a ride home. No, I am. I'm going to give you a ride home. And then when we get off the air and the train has already left, then I'm going to leave him behind. There's a part of me that's thinking that.
Well, you know, Crypto Ray and Beto have both said they would take him home.
That's very sweet.
I got Chris. No worries.
I actually just got a funny... A funny Photoshop from Beto, which I will post in the in the circle of trust. Hold on, I'm going to put it in there now.
Beto Duran might be the biggest fan of this show than anybody I know. More than Big E, more than Crypto Ray, more than Casper Villa, more than Dead Meow 5. I mean, there may not be anybody who listens more to this show than Roberto Duran. Cabeza de something.
De piedra?
Si. Thank you.
Isn't it Manos?
Well, no,
it's
that's
Manos,
that's,
but he's
that's
saying
Roberto
cabeza,
Duran.
Like he's hard-headed.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Cabeza.
I know what he meant, but he's not.
Yeah. Oh, Raiders just dropped. Mac Hollins had a huge deep ball, just hit him right in the chest and pop off.
Would you please stop doing this to me? You know you're like 15 seconds ahead of me all the time.
All right, has it happened yet?
All right, here's what's going on. It's here's Carr dropping back.
You're still like 45 seconds
looking
behind.
Deep. Hits number 10 right in the hands, drops it. So how far behind do you think I am?
That's easily like 30 to 45 seconds.
All right. Well, that's what's happening.
That was happening to me over the weekend because I was out running errands, listening to the Guardians game on the MLB app.
The Gardos.
Well, at least the beginning of it, because you know it was like a 6-hour
You
game.
Did not listen to 15 innings, I'm assuming.
I listened, and then I watched, and then I listened, and then I left again. But anyway, yeah, my whole family, I had to turn off my text notifications because I was getting all these texts from our group texts and everything with my, fellow Gardos fans. And I was like, okay, I need to just turn my notifications off and not look at my phone because it's going to spoil the whole game for me.
Great start to the game by the Raiders, that's all I'll say.
I would love to see the Raiders pull a massive upset here. But, I mean, on the road, in Kansas City, at Arrowhead.
Didn't they win there last year?
I think they did.
Yeah.
So it's not like they haven't.
They did.
It's just that it's just not likely.
It's definitely not likely, for sure. By the way, I do have I don't know if I have an underdog fantasy read today, but I've been messing with the underdog fantasy higher or lower game. I've got, here. You want to know what I got today?
Tell me.
Here's the action I got today. Derek Carr, hold on, I'll read this. Derek Carr, under 38.5 passing attempts.
Under?
Or lower. Sorry, lower.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sky Moore, who's their punt returner, lower than 20.5 receiving yards on underdog fantasy in their pick'em game. Travis Kelce, this one could be tough. Lower 7 receptions. Josh Jacobs, higher than 15.5 rushing attempts. And then this is my wild card, Isaiah Pacheco. Higher than 22.5 rushing yards. Now, he got in the game last week, Pacheco, and got some decent chunk yardage for them, including a touchdown, if I recall correctly. So, we'll see. But Edwards-Helaire getting the start on this one. But I've been addicted this weekend to this higher or lower game on this pick'em game on Underdog Fantasy. I'm telling you.
I must have sat on Saturday night, without exaggeration, I must have watched about 6 hours of TV on Saturday night. I was up in Boise visiting my daughters.
Yeah. And this is after or before the Redeem Team?
No, this is during the Redeem Team. I'm telling you, dude, my daughter was like, Dad, come on, we're going to go to the game, we're going to party. I'm like, I don't want to go see Fresno State against Boise State. You'll have to excuse me.
Oh, they went to the game and you didn't?
So, well, my older daughter did. My two other daughters who were younger, they're like, Dad, we need some pizza and we need to go home and relax for a little while. So I'm like, all right. So then we went back to the house, and they both passed out. And I watched so much football, and then I watched the Redeem Team. I watched baseball. I mean, I just watched so – I haven't sat on a couch for that amount of time in ages. George, it's so bad that on the way up to Boise, on the Alaska Airlines, like, free movies that they give you, I started –
Oh, Alaska's – I love Alaska Airlines.
Yeah, it's a lot better than Spirit.
Yeah, no question.
But I started watching Better Call Saul. Have you ever seen that at all?
I've not. No, I've never. I'm not in the Breaking Bad universe.
So I watched, I think, the first episode when it first came out. And I was like, this is slow and boring. I probably watched 5 or 6 episodes of that this weekend, too.
Good for you.
Yeah. Was that good?
Yeah. And good for the Raiders. I'll tell you in a minute. Well, you'll be able to tell us in a minute about that.
Yeah, I have no idea what just happened. I mean, seriously. Like, here's what's going on right now. 12:07 to go, 3rd and 8. Mahomes is in the shotgun formation.
Yeah, go ahead, Kevin Harlan. Give it
to Juju Smith-Schuster is in motion.
Yeah.
And oh, wait a second. I see what happened. I see Raiders
sack for Max Crosby.
Yep. Yeah. See, 30 seconds behind you, every bit of it.
Yeah.
Max Crosby's like, I just grabbed Mahomes. I can't even throw him to the ground. Because nowadays, when you just tackle a quarterback, not helmet to helmet, Not going underneath their knees, just tackling a quarterback gets you a penalty, like what happened with Tom Brady yesterday.
Your boyfriend. I mean, enough. That's a joke what they did to your boyfriend.
Well, I mean, is it his fault or is it the referee?
I mean, it's everyone's fault, including him.
I think the referee feels bad for him. The referee's like,
right?
Dude, I heard you're getting divorced.
Hey, it's 45.
You're kind of looking skinny right now. Like, I don't want anybody to hurt you.
Yeah. So I ripped them today on Around the Horn for that.
Oh, on another show, really?
Yeah, on an ESPN show.
Oh, okay. Well, what do you mean? You're intimating that I'm not on another ESPN show?
I'm on another ESPN television show, yes.
Uh-huh. I'm on another ESPN radio station.
Ish.
Yeah.
Adjacent. Mm. Are you trying to compare me doing work for Around the Horn to you doing the Cappy Cast?
Correct. That's right. That's exactly right. That's precisely what's happening.
Is
right
that going to try to be your defense and you're out tomorrow?
No, because I still don't know. I still don't know the charges now.
Oh, well, that's right. We got to
when I find out the charges tomorrow, then I'll have my defense.
I feel like you're trying to feel it out, though, is what you're trying to do.
I will have my defense when the charges are levied against me.
By the way, Laura says that they're finding pics. The community's finding pics of you everywhere, Cappy.
Hey, guys, I've lived in San Diego for 20 years. And I mentioned how I was around the Padres for a very long time.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, though, is that, like, if you're a Padre lifer, like, if you live and breathe the Padres, you're a Dodger hater.
Yeah. But you're not, like, a Dodger
hater. No, listen,
I
follow
Dave Roberts. He's your guy.
Dave Roberts is my man. And I followed the Padres all year. I followed the Dodgers all year. And, George, what do you always say when it comes to the Lakers? You want the Lakers to succeed. Why?
Well, it's good for business.
Well, this is great for business. Dodgers Padres is great for business. Dodgers Mets, it was probably great for everybody in New York's business, but in terms of Southern California, Padres Dodgers, this is way more exciting than Dodgers Mets, I think.
I feel like Beto kind of defended you here because he quote tweeted Laura's tweet by saying it's like finding Mason's Clippers and Chargers picks. Now, I know Mason was a Charger fan because people found those picks, but Mason was never a Clippers fan, was he? Because that would be the ultimate.
Well, I mean, listen, I was a Charger fan at one time. I'm no longer.
Well, but you are also the king of the hater club. So.
Right.
So.
Well, I'm the president. The king is a little bit much. Hey, king. Should make a T-shirt.
Careful
about
with that.
That.
You know, I'm just saying.
You should. You should make a T-shirt.
I think all references to Hey King should be on hold for 24 hours until.
Oh, that's
the trial
true.
Tomorrow.
It is. Yeah.
I agree with her.
Embargoed.
Embargoed. Oh, really? That's a great word.
Yeah. Wow. Good. Solid
access
word.
Revoked.
Yeah. Yeah, embargoed. Yeah, it's like a restraining order against it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. God, I can't wait for tomorrow.
So, I mentioned the Lakers and Draymond. Yeah. Well, actually, I mentioned Draymond, not really the Lakers, so I gave it away. But nonetheless, Stephen A. Smith today, our guy, Cappy.
Yep.
He laid it out. He thinks Draymond wants out, and he thinks he wants the Lakers. Let's hear it in Stephen A.'s voice.
I can tell you right now that Draymond Green is expecting this to be his last year in Golden State. Now, he want to be a Laker. He ain't going to tell anybody that. But don't think I don't know. He'd prefer to be a Laker if he got to leave Golden State.
Now, here's the thing. I mean, listen, Stephen A. knows a lot of stuff. And I would not be surprised. And also, you know, Lindsay pointed this out. Trae Young tweeted that when all that stuff went down with him and Jordan Poole. Like, in real time, right, Linz?
Yeah, he tweeted out, Draymond's trying to get... He's trying to play for the Lakers. Like,
right, and here's
that
the thing.
Day.
Draymond, Trey, LeBron, AD. Do you know what they have in common, Cappy?
What do they have? They have the same other agent
being,
or something?
Other than being basketball players, yes.
What's that?
They have the same agent.
Oh, I got that right.
Yeah, that is correct. So,
listen, let me ask you a quick question here. Mm. If I said to you today that the Lakers could get Draymond Green. Forget details. Don't start with the whole who they trade. Forget all that nonsense for a second. The Lakers could get Draymond Green. You want him or do you not want him?
Look, he's a great player, but I think that he is not exactly what this team needs, is the way I would describe it.
To me, after what I saw, and by the way, I don't know if you guys saw it. I don't know if it's true or not, that the person, whoever sold the video, it was sold for over $1 million to TMZ.
Well, it depends on who you listen to. There's all sorts of numbers out there. Yeah.
I don't know the answers. I don't know what's true or not.
Said what, Lindsay?
Van Lathan said that it's probably worth like $150K, and the dude probably sold it for somewhere around like $50,000 to $100,000.
Who said that?
Van Lathan.
Van Lathan, who used to work for TMZ.
Yeah, he said based on what he knows of the situation and like working there, that's what he guessed it. They probably sold it for.
Yeah. Look, here's the thing. I've always liked Draymond Green because I've always felt like, you know, teams that have an attitude guy, a guy who's sort of an enforcer, if you will, like I think that's a valuable guy to have on a team. However, I don't think that a guy who is a bully and I don't think that a guy who would do what he did is a guy I want on my team anymore. Now, he's kind of got one of those reputations of you hate him if he's on the other team, but you probably love him if he's on your team.
For sure.
But after what I saw, look, Jordan Poole is smaller. Jordan Poole just pushed him away, like, get out of my face. And Draymond threw a sucker punch at him.
Well, I wouldn't call it a sucker punch. We had this discussion on Friday when you weren't here.
What would you call it?
A sucker punch is like, you hit someone like without them even knowing, like that they like from the from behind.
Well, what would you call that punch? I'm just curious.
I would just call it a really vicious punch.
Dude, I would call. Listen, you're not expecting to. Your hands aren't up. This is not like, hey, let's do this right here and right now. This is, man, get out of my face, and he pushes him away. Don't expect to be punched in the face.
I mean, I get what Jordan Poole did. I'm not defending Draymond, but once you put your hands on somebody, then you got to be ready to throw blows.
Draymond's a bully. And Draymond picked on somebody smaller, and
he's also picked on people bigger than him too.
I will give him credit for one thing. At his press conference the other day,
yeah,
the one thing he said was, "Hey, look, if I'm Jordan Poole's mom or dad, and I saw that, I need to apologize to them because I assaulted their son." This was not happening in a game where fists are flying and bodies are flying.
Yeah,
that's your teammate, bro.
No, I'm with you, and he clearly is trying to make up for that. Is why he's away from the team. Speaking of making it up,
I'm seeing it.
Yeah, the Raiders.
30 seconds later,
boom! Touchdown, Davante Adams.
Come on, let's go Raiders.
That's like a 60-yarder.
That was beautiful. I mean, he had to slow down. He's like, "Come on, get the." It was like slow motion. Can the ball get to me?
Yeah. He had his guy beat by a mile. He waited. But here's, if I'm the Lakers, I would prioritize over Draymond Green someone who can create their own shot on offense. I don't think the Lakers' issue is adding another defender who is hit or miss with his shot. I don't think that's what the Lakers need necessarily. I'm not saying I wouldn't take Draymond, but I think that's not their priority. So,
yeah, I mean, if we're just talking pure basketball, I don't think he would be a guy that you really need, but I'm just thinking about it I just don't want that guy on my team after what I saw.
All right, we could discuss this a little further. Radio Tinder is up next.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Thanks, Christopher.
Love Nintendo.
By the way, Tequila Mandala, I posted a little something on the Instagram.
Oh, and they responded back to you. I saw that on Instagram.
Yeah, they said, we love you guys too, Tequila Mandala. So maybe they'll send us some more tequila, you know?
So you guys took my Tequila Mandala as punishment for whatever I'm accused of. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, we just re-gifted.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Technically it was never really yours. Like, it wasn't in your possession.
Oh, it's Sedano's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
no,
it wasn't
actually
in your possession.
Not even the case. The case was that there was Tequila Mandala. There were some bottles brought in for
you,
George.
You did not just well, actually, Laura.
And then there was three other
He's
bottles.
Lucky I missed it.
One of each for all of us. And then the question was, which one did you want? I wanted the Reposado, which I somehow came away with. Lindsay took that bottle, put
so
it in my
nice
office.
I was so nice enough. To actually give that one to you because I had taken it.
Either way. So it had already,
it got revoked.
It was already mine. So,
but
Mike,
it wasn't
so
in your possession.
It wasn't really yours.
You stole it.
No one stole it.
We gifted it to Ramona.
You got re-gifted, Cap, what you do all the time.
Yeah, you're a re-gifter.
Well, wait a second. At least then give me credit that I gave it to Ramona.
No, why?
No, because it was never in your possession.
Yeah, you had nothing to do with it, Cap.
That's weak sauce.
By the way, before we did re-gift it to her after we all partook and in
we did we
Friday,
had a little drink
yeah end of shot
I saw
yeah.
those pictures the way you guys so taunted good. Me by sending me those photos. Hey, here we are drinking your Tequila Mandala.
Yeah.
Shout out to Tequila Mandala.
Yeah.
By the way, swipe right always with Tequila Mandala, award-winning small batch premium sipping tequila made from the finest mature agaves, available everywhere fine tequilas are sold. Visit their website tequilamandala.com. And up your game. Demand the extraordinary with Tequila Mandala. Go ahead, Lindsay.
All right, so a Pirates prospect went viral over the weekend after refusing to sign a baseball for a kid. But it's not what you think. During an Arizona Fall League game, Henry Davis wrote on a 6-year-old's baseball, "Stop using your kid for autos, please." Well, a nearby fan took a video of the ball and he tweeted it out. And then Henry Davis himself saw the tweet and he addressed it and tweeted, "Great talking with Cash, 6 years old, and signing his hat. Said he didn't know my name, but his dad said he had to run across the field to get my auto. Hard to connect with fans when some make a barrier between us. I will be catching in the pen today if any kids want to come and talk ball." Do you agree with what Henry Davis did? Swipe left or swipe right, Sedano?
Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong here. The ball he wrote, he was basically writing to the dad, right?
Yes, on the baseball.
Because the kid didn't know who he was.
Right.
Right, but let me explain something to Henry Davis. Most six-year-olds don't know who any baseball player is.
Exactly.
As the father of an 8 and a 4-year-old. You know what I mean? And, you know, everyone here has brothers, sisters, nephews, or whatever when they were little. Cappy, you have 4 children who are grown now. Like, I feel like I get Henry Davis's position, but what I would say is that, you know, the notion that this little kid knew who he would be is kind of silly, I think, personally.
Here's another thing. Who is he? So not only does the kid not know who he is, but are the rest of us supposed to know who he is? And is his ball, like his autograph, worth so much right now? Or he's projected to be so great that one day it's going to be worth so much? I mean, bro, like, and by the way, where did this happen? Do we know where this happened?
Yes, it happened, like I said, in an Arizona Fall League game.
Oh, God.
So it was, like I said, he's a prospect. Yeah. He's a highly touted prospect in the Pirates organization. They were playing the Angels affiliate. And like I said, it was a minor league game. And what happened was the dad was like, hey, go get that guy's autograph. And the issue I have with this, I'll let you finish your point in a sec, Cap, is I went to spring training all the time when I was younger with my dad. Like, he took me, my sisters, my brother, my uncle. My uncle still he lives down in Lakeland. He goes all the time. And like, I remember being a little kid and having my dad be like, Hall of Famer, that's a good one to get, and like pointing out guys' autographs who I should get if I didn't know any better. And I remember, like, my dad got mad one time because he wanted to wait in line for Gaylord Perry's autograph, and I was like, Dan, I don't want to wait for it. And he's like, but you should have it. And it's like, he wasn't doing it because he wanted it for himself. He wanted us to have it. He wanted me to have this Hall of Famer's autograph, you know? So saying to a kid like, oh, that's blah blah blah, you should get him to sign your ball, like, that's not necessarily a bad thing. So I don't get what the, like, who, like, yeah, you said,
and by the way, he's being lauded for this. Like, people are like, good for him, right? This, that, and the other. And I'm like, I don't get that.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of wish I would have known about this story today, because I would have tried to win an around the horn and taken him out.
You should. You use it. I mean, use the next around the horn. Because I just think this guy's delusional, because not every dad who gives their kid a ball and says, hey, go get that guy's autograph, is using their kid.
Like, right. And the Cap, when your kids were 6 years old, let's just take Justin, for example. Justin was 6 years old. Did he know, like, who all the baseball players were?
Not really. What I can't get over in this story is, it's like, dude, just, it's a kid. Sign the ball. And by the way, if the kid goes and gives it to his dad and his dad thinks it's worth something, I mean, you know who you are. Is it really worth anything right now? By the way, anybody who's at an Arizona Fall League game.
Right. No, and by the way, he was the number one overall pick, this Davis guy.
Wow. So, great. Awesome.
Yeah.
How old is this guy, I wonder?
He's got to be like in his early 20s, you know, probably around 20 years old, something like that.
Yeah, but I wonder if it's even worse than that. Like, I wonder if he's like an 18 or a 19-year-old kid fresh out of high school.
23.
Oh, all right. So he went to college, whatever.
I can't remember who it was, but I remember when we were cleaning out my dad's storage unit with a whole bunch of our autographs, his old autographs, and we had so many autographs between him, my brother, and I. Autograph balls of this one, like, Indian stiff. Like, he was one of those guys who was a prospect that never amounted to anything. And we had all these autographs because we loved getting his autograph, because we're like, oh, we got him again. He's going to be so good. And it's just,
I just think that's just silly to not, just because the kid said, oh, my dad said I should get your autograph, that doesn't mean that, you know, like, anything other than his dad, to your point, Lindsay, his dad is saying, hey, that guy's supposed to be really good. Go get his autograph. It'd be something cool for you to have. Right.
But the other thing is like, if an NFL team is visiting and you know where they're staying and you show up, a lot of times there's collectors that are trying to get stuff, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like this situation.
No. Again, being at an Arizona Fall League game, it's not like collectors are going there to, like,
right,
seek out this prospect's autograph. It's kind of weird. I think it's a jerk move.
Yeah. I'm with you on that, at least based on what I know of the story.
Yeah. All right. So next one. A California man is suing the North Carolina-based company behind Texas Pete hot sauces, claiming he was deceived into believing that he was purchasing an authentic Texas-made product when he bought a $3 bottle of the spicy sauce, even though the company has nothing to do with Texas. The class action lawsuit claims that the company put the word Texas in its sauces because it, quote, knows the state of Texas enjoys a certain mysticism and appeal in the consumer marketplace and is known for its quality cuisine, spicy food, and hot sauce. Does this lawsuit stand a chance in court, Cappy? Swipe left or swipe right?
Gosh, I hope it doesn't. I'm going to swipe left and say I hope it doesn't. I mean, come on, really? Like, you can't now use the word Texas because it's a marketing tool, and if your company doesn't have anything to do with the state of Texas, that's a problem? Really? Like, why don't you read the label and see that it's from wherever, Mission Viejo, but it's just called Texas hot sauce? Oh, God. People are Texas just out of their minds.
Right. Yeah, and it has, like, I guess there's a flag that kind of looks like the Texas state flag on the bottle. And
so
like
what?
A cowboy-looking guy. Yeah.
Just because, so what? I mean, you have to be Texas-based to use that?
It's kind of like the guy who wanted to sue Subway for saying there was no tuna in the tuna salad. But I don't know. That's different, because if that's the case, I feel like that's different. That's different.
I don't know. It's kind of like, what was that old TV commercial for, like, I think it was called Pace Picante? And they were
the
like,
salsa, when he
yeah.
was like, it's from New York City.
Right, New York City. I mean, come on, people, really? Like, people will sue over anything.
Yeah. By the way, Beto does say that a lot of autograph seekers hound the Arizona Fall League, that actually most casual fans do not go to that.
I don't know.
But I mean, nonetheless, dude, yeah. It's a six-year-old kid. Like, just sign the ball. And by the way, he's done, I'm now reading up on this Henry Davis, where he's actually signed balls for the kids and said, and like written their name on it. Like, you know, hey, Scott,
personalize
Scott,
it.
Comma, yeah. And then signs his, which is totally fine.
Right.
Like, do that then. Write the kid's name on it. You know what I mean? Like, that way it's not, he can't sell it, but it's a cool thing for the kid. Not writing something like, don't tell your kid to come, ask for my autograph when he doesn't know who I am. Like, that's bull. I don't like that.
Dude, everything's going right for the Raiders right now. I know I'm 30 seconds behind, but everything's going right for the Raiders.
Yeah, so far, yeah.
And the Chiefs just missed a chip shot field goal.
Yeah.
Oh, Ellis Burke and Jarrett Wright are the ones my dad. He just texted me because he's listening. found like 50 Ellis Burke's autographed balls in storage because we thought he was going to be so good and we just wanted them.
So one more, Linz, real quick.
What's up, Daddy Baseball?
Well, my last one's kind of long, so I feel like I should save it
for
tomorrow.
Okay, then save it for tomorrow. Yeah. That's fine. Save it for after the Trial of the Century Part 2.
Did you just call my dad Daddy Baseball?
Yeah. Yes, he did. Yeah, he did.
Oh,
I tried to just sneak right past that. Just move on.
Wow. Well, you got Lindsay Baseball and you got Daddy Baseball.
Steve Baseball.
Yeah.
Stevie Ball.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, let's get into this Raiders game. I want to kind of update people what's going on here. And look, because to me, the season is on the line for the Raiders in a lot of ways today. Like, if you go 1-4... they can be facing a very long, steep hill to climb in this scenario. So we'll get to that. Plus, I want to get into the college football weekend. UCLA and USC, Cappy, we've been talking about it. This thing could be alive and well in a couple of weeks. They just got to get through one more tough game and then some, in theory, not so tough games. But let's talk about their weekend. It's been really fun to watch kind of the ascension of both these teams. We'll get into all that coming up as well. Stick around, 710 ESPN. Great cast in Boogie Nights.
I did like the ending.
I'm sure.
I did indeed.
Mark Wahlberg, Burt Reynolds, Julianne Moore, John C. Reilly, right? Don Cheadle, William H. Macy. Crazy.
Quite a cast, huh?
Yeah. Heather Graham. That's right. Heather Graham. Roller Girl.
I think Julianne Moore was at the Mets-Padres game the other night. She was wearing, like, Padres gear, and they showed her up on the big screen, and everybody started booing her, and she looked over, and she's like, I don't know what you want me to do, man.
That's like you.
I was going to say. You
and Julianne Moore are in the same boat.
I guess so.
There you go.
Are there any other, like, super famous Padres fans?
I don't know.
That's a question for you. I mean, the hell would I know?
I feel like you would know, Cap, because most people know, like, I know, like, the famous fans of the Gardos.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, LeBron's really not one of them. I mean, sometimes he is. Sometimes he's not.
Yeah, he's a fan of whichever's. I feel like he's a fan of the team of the city he plays in because he just wants to be supportive of the city. So that's fine.
Well, then why was he a Yankees fan?
Because
he was
a dumb kid at that point, I think. I think that was a dumb move back then.
By the way, watching LeBron in that documentary we were talking about earlier, what's it called? The Redeem Team. LeBron is so cute back then, you know, pre-giant beard, pre-like balding, pre-dad of teenage sons, you know, like when he was just sort of little LeBron.
And well, he was never really little, but I
get
what
you know,
point
young
is.
LeBron, yeah, kid yeah, LeBron. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was so cute back then.
Yeah.
You know, I really learned a lot in that documentary about LeBron's relationship with Kobe and how uptight, I'm going to say, Kobe was around everybody, but how light LeBron was and how he loosened everybody, including Kobe, up. If you haven't seen it yet, the Redeem Team, dude, that is like required viewing.
But they needed that balance of each other, I think, on that team.
Right. They had Kobe's intensity and they had LeBron's sort of lightheartedness.
Yes.
And that's not to say that LeBron wasn't like hardworking and serious. It's just that Kobe was such a, and again, this is my interpretation, he was such an overwhelmingly sort of serious all the time kind of personality.
He was a business. He was, basketball was business. Yeah.
But I also feel like there was so much around him at that time of his life.
Oh, no
and
question.
People were like, they just didn't know how to react necessarily. But leave it to LeBron to kind of
lighten the mood. Well, they were surprised that Kobe was interested. But it actually worked out. It was the best thing that, honestly, it was the best move at that time for Kobe, because they had just come off the loss against the Celtics. You know, everybody was calling Kobe a ball hog back then, and this was like the opportunity for Kobe to be like, okay, I'm going to be part of like a real team with a bunch of superstars and prove to people I'm not a ball hog.
Not just a real team, but the team representing the U.S. And right. I know you tweeted it, but and again, I don't want to blow it for everybody. Like, I've already blown Game of Thrones, House of Dragon last night.
Yeah.
But the part where they win, which everybody understands they won.
Well, everybody knows they win. Yes.
Right. And then they go over to the broadcast booth where Doug Collins is.
Yeah.
Dude, that's heavy.
Moment.
That's heavy emotional stuff right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And you didn't give anything away, but you just, now you know. You know,
all right. Some guy got his
head
chopped
off. And
by the
way, if you watched that game, you saw them do that in real time anyway.
I didn't remember.
Yeah. You may not have known why, but you know that they did that. And, you know, Doug has a long-standing relationship with a lot of those guys. You know, Doug was the voice of the NBA for a very long time, and Doug played the game, and his son was a coach and still a coach. You know what I mean? Like, that family has been around forever in basketball. Yeah. So.
No, and he did a good job of kind of documenting the relationship that he had with those guys and why it was so important to him. But he'd be great to have on during the NBA season and have a conversation about that, because that was really cool.
Yeah, Doug's great guy. Yeah, and when you watch that game, like you watch that Barcelona, you watch that game against Spain, man.
Oh, dude.
That thing was so tightly contested. I mean, Kobe and Dwayne Wade saved them in that game, the gold medal game.
Well, how about the game prior to that, in the first game between Spain and the U.S. when Kobe tells everybody?
The situation with Powell.
Yeah. Dude, I'm going right through Powell. And they were like, what do you mean, man? He's like, I know exactly what they're going to do. I'm blowing him up. And Kobe kind of like letting everybody know, yeah, he's my teammate with the Lakers, and I love the dude. Like, we're super close.
Yeah.
But I'm about to blow him up and show you guys that I care more about winning than I do about my relationship with him.
Right.
Damn, that was intense stuff.
Yeah. Mamba mentality, bro.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah. And I love the reaction that they show of all the different dudes, like after the way they edited the film and they show Kobe running through the screen and just running through Pau's chest, and Pau hits the ground and Kobe's just like standing over him. And then they cut back to like, you know, more recent times, and like LeBron and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and all these people are like going, holy bleep. Like, and they're actually cursing, and they're like, this mother bleeper's crazy. Like, it was fun. Like, that made me laugh. Like, that was hilarious.
It's an awesome doc, man. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it was funny. It was really, really funny. Carlos Boozer, I thought, was very good in the documentary as well.
Yeah. I didn't realize how much of a role he played on that team.
Yeah, he played a lot. I mean, think about it. The big men on that team were him, Bosh, and Dwight. Like, those were the three big men, basically.
And there was another, I'm trying to remember, what's the guy's name? Is it Darren Williams?
Darren Williams, who was one of the best point guards in the league at that time.
I know, but I forgot about him completely. I thought of him as being in, like, some celebrity boxing match a couple months ago, you know?
Was he?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I think he knocked somebody out, too, I think.
He might have. He was tough. There's no question about that. But, yeah, he's, you know, his skills eroded much sooner than a lot of people. But he was in the same draft as Chris Paul.
Yeah, it's a great film. I mean, I really loved it.
Yeah. I'm glad you watched it, Cappy.
Well, it's your fault.
Was it my fault? You liked it.
Oh, I loved it. But I probably wouldn't have gotten to it yet until I saw you tweet about it on Saturday night. I'm like, oh, this mother effer. I'm like, now I got to watch something else that wasn't on my list. But
how many cocktails deep were you in at that?
Well, I mean, I had drank earlier in the day because I was at frat parties, you know, being like a creepy dad at a frat party.
Yeah.
God, I've got weird pictures of me at frat parties, dude. Holding Coors Lights in my hand, you know?
Prove it. No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to cap.
I mean, at least it was Coors Light, not like Natty Light.
Yeah. I would put the pictures out. I just feel like I look so fat.
I mean, Coors Light is your brand.
I know it is. That's why I drink it.
Yeah.
You couldn't have been that fat in college if you were a kicker on a...
No, no. I'm talking about today. I'm talking about this weekend.
You mean recently. Oh. Yeah, this
past weekend. Yeah.
Uh-oh. Raiders in good spot here again.
Don't do this to me. I'm 30 seconds behind.
I'm just saying in a good spot. I didn't tell you what happened.
Right now, I got second and 17.
Yeah.
So how far behind am I?
Yeah, you're going to be in a good spot in a second.
Come on, Raiders. Win this game.
Give me some Kevin Harlan again, since you're way behind.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, wait a second. We've got flags on the field. Here comes Carr with his gray pants with the black stripe down the side. He has a chest-high snap from the shotgun formation. He throws the ball. He's looking. And flags on the field as it's going to be pass interference against the Chiefs in the end zone. And the Raiders will have a first and goal from the one-yard line.
Not terrible. What I would say, though, if you were really doing a Kevin Harlan, you would say, Carr takes the chest-high snap. Looks to his left, heaves it to the end zone for Devontae Adams. It is incomplete, but a flag on the play.
Right. Yeah, you need a lot more detail when you're doing Harlan.
Yeah. Heaves it. Heaves is like a good word that he uses.
With the white jersey, with the black numerals on the back.
Well, no, he doesn't do that every play.
Oh,
though.
Dude, he just gives you every detail. The silver helmets, white socks, the black shoes. You can see the lines of the jock strap. I mean, he gives you every detail.
Always extra. Don't believe I've ever heard him say the lines of the jockstrap.
I think he's done that before, I think.
Yeah, I'll ask him next time I see him. So, there you go.
Maybe I'll ask him next time I see him.
You could as well. And I'm curious to hear what the answer would be.
He's got the long hair out of the back of the helmet. He's got the yellow mouthpiece.
Mac Hollins. They hand off up the middle to Josh Jacobs. And he's in the end zone for a touchdown, and I just spoiled it for you. Just like you spoiled Game of Thrones for everybody else. Touchdown, Raiders.
I only spoiled one scene.
I mean, it's a pretty important scene.
It's a pretty violent scene, I gotta tell you.
This is like the first quarter or whatever.
That's a sharp sword, George. What can I tell you?
Oh, my God. Will you stop?
Really sharp.
Clearly. All right, coming up next, UCLA and USC have been sharp. We'll discuss their... progress next.